It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
And welcome back to the Phileas Club. In this show, what we do is that we get people from different countries, different parts of the world, different backgrounds, put them together in one show and discuss the news and hopefully get different perspectives on what's been happening. This is not what we're doing today, though. We also do special episodes where we dive deep into a specific topic, and today is one such episode, and we're going to be talking about Slovenia. Slovenia, that one country that everyone has heard the name of, but that's pretty much it. I'm being mean, but hopefully that won't be taken as something too mean. My name is Patrick Beja, and I'm very happy to be welcoming to the show Andrzej Tomić. Did I get it right?
That was yes. Acceptable. When we rehearsed, you were a little better, but I'll give you a 7 out of 10. That's what I'm...
I'll take it. Yeah. I'm not greedy. Andrzej Tomić is a podcaster from Slovenia. I first heard from you from Allison Sheridan, amazing podcaster who has been on this show before. Thanks so much to her for introducing us. Go listen to the Nosilat cast if you don't. And I guess I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to introduce yourself to the audience. Go.
Yeah, I have this weird sort of double life because I've been doing podcasts in Slovenia in our language since like 2012. I actually run a whole podcast network, but I also have an English feed, which is at stormingmortal.com, where I basically put there. One of the shows I do is an interview show, and that's the place where all of the English speaking episodes go. So, you know, I always try to mention that one, because if I send people to apparatus.si, which is my podcast network and all of my shows, it's all in Slovene. So it's kind of pointless even mentioning that. But
so you've been doing it since 2012. That's a yes. Decent amount of podcasting time.
Yeah, well, yes. I did an interview here in Slovenia a while back, and they asked me how many hours I've recorded. Or episodes or something. It was a number. I'm really not sure. Like, this is not bragging. It's just too many. That's how I'm going to say. Like, yeah, but I also write about tech. And then every once in a while, as far as English speaking stuff is, I'll show up on Relay.fm in Clockwise, and I've been on Download. And then I've been very fortunate to be on The Incomparable a couple of times, which is one of those podcasts that I listen to a lot, and I somehow have managed to con them all to invite me. So that was a big one.
And so you're a podcaster. That's your full-time job.
This is all in my spare time. So I have a lot. I don't have any spare time, basically.
Well, you told me that you just had a kid as well. She's 1 year old. So yeah, you don't have any spare time. I understand.
Basically, when I sleep, it's a miracle, basically. So, my full-time job is actually at a public radio station here in Slovenia, where I also do sort of a radio show / podcast, a tech one, with my co-host Maruša Keretz. And I also kind of run the website there and stuff. And for a long time, I've been writing about tech for a magazine over here called Monitor. I've been doing that for like at least 10 years. So yeah, I'm a techie guy, basically.
Yes, as many of us are. It's funny how podcasting took off in the tech circles, because of course you needed to know these things to launch a podcast initially, so it's kept that life going for a long time. And I'm really happy to be able to talk to you, if nothing else, because I think you have the most the biggest contrast between, you mentioned something like that in your discussion with Allison. Like, you have a really strong accent, but at the same time, your English is excellent. So that contrast is amazing. It feels like, I don't know, I don't know what it sounds like, but I really like it. I really enjoy it as someone who's also not a native in English speaker. It feels refreshing. I don't know. It's really great.
Yeah, well, I try doing the proper ruh. Right, sort of the American ruh, you know, it just sounds so fake to me, and I just figured I would just lean into the whole Bond villain, you know, accent, and just go with that. I'm kind of, you know, I was kind of fortunate because my folks put me in some a school at six where I started learning English, and I watched way too many Simpsons episodes and MASH, basically. And Matlock, if anybody knows what that is.
I guess that's how you learn. Yeah, that's how you really learn English these days. I learned English through movies and TV shows and podcasts as well, of course. But that's how it works. But that's actually a decent question. How come you speak English so well? You learned it in school because your parents put you in a school where it was important, or?
Yeah, that was actually an extra school thing. Just they figured it'd be good for me to speak English. So yeah, it was mostly that and watching Sky One, which is they had a children's program thing and just watched Transformers cartoons. So it was like schooling and TV, which basically kind of that's where I learned English. But over here, English is kind of not in the whole country, but most of it is the primary second language you learn in school. So there's a pretty good chance a person from Slovenia will be able to speak English. But then maybe in the west of the country, they'll speak Italian because it kind of borders Italy. So that's a big thing. And then the northwest is more German because of Austria, basically.
Right. So I guess that's a good place to start for our conversation. I will admit something that is I'm very ashamed of. I actually had to look up Slovenia on Wikipedia to make sure where it was, and I would have put it a good 300 or 400 kilometers north of where it actually is. I was like, oh, but Yugoslavia, right? So it's like Italy and that kind of place. It's one of those many countries which I would associate with the former Eastern Bloc, which I believe it was kind of aligned with, part of for a while.
Yeah, that's a complicated sort of, but we weren't really, that, if you want to go into that, there was this thing, Yugoslavia was kind of part of these, but not really, a Yugoslav passport would basically kind of get you into any country almost, that was, you could even go to America, we were a weird kind of, weird player during the Cold War, honestly, it wasn't sort of Eastern Bloc-y as it might sound, you know, but... Yeah, but yeah, we're basically we're shaped like a chicken, and we're next to Italy. That's how I explain it.
The chicken next to Italy. I think I have the title for this episode.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, that's because it really died when the outline, and I think the first sort of it wasn't. I don't know. I always forget if it was a search engine or just a listing of websites way back when, right? Because we got the internet pretty early, so. It was kind of called sort of Mother Hen, basically, just because of the shape of the country.
Yeah, So let me ask you, how that's maybe a second or third question. I was going to ask, how modern is Slovenia? You mentioned you got the internet pretty early, and I think now that image of Eastern Bloc or semi, not really Eastern Bloc, but kind of, or Yugoslavia and the war and everything, kind of creates an image of a country that is behind technologically, not quite on the level of the rest of the Western world, which I'm saying it's kind of disappearing that image a little bit because we're realizing that a lot of these countries that might have been a little bit behind before the fall, and again, I keep associating you with the Eastern Bloc, which maybe the war kind of slowed things down a little bit, but they kind of, everyone leapfrogged the middling technologies and went to pretty amazing stuff pretty quickly. So I'm sure this audience kind of gauges the technological level of a country through these things. How modern, quote unquote, is Slovenia today?
The way I try to answer that question usually is like, when I go abroad, like, we're pretty much there. Like, it's there's no difference. Like, I'll even say, like, our internet stuff is, you know, just the connections and the infrastructure is a lot better than in some places in Western Europe I've been.
Really?
Like, this is not, yes. Like, we have, like, the cities have fiber and, you know, which is not a thing in Western Europe at all. Like, it's that's not a rule, right? That's sort of the exception. Like, I won't oversell it too much because we do have sort of rural areas and stuff. But there's been, like, initiatives there to just get proper broadband everywhere, basically, you know, but cable's been everywhere for a while. We were, like, really at the, like, really got 4G pretty fast, honestly, you know, compared to other European countries. You know, we were one of the European countries which has sadly kind of gone away now because of the European Union, that kind of have net neutrality in our laws. And then
really?
That dumb directive came and we kind of had to strike a couple of zero rating and kind of that stuff from the laws, which is a bummer as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
It was like us and the Dutch and I think like the Finnish. We had like the three countries with actual internet neutrality laws and everybody else just gets, you know, just does what Europe tells them, or like the German telecoms, basically, which is, you know, never a good thing, basically. So, yeah.
Oh, so you were bummed that you were the only ones. And I live in Finland, so I'm pretty happy with my situation.
Yeah,
as
okay.
Well,
yeah, but, yeah. The Scandinavians, I think, kind of get the internet. Yeah. Like, I think that kind of works out up there. But
so
yeah,
it's
like,
about 2 million people in the country. Would you say, like, most people have access to fiber? That seems like a...
No, not most, right? Like, not, but like, fiber's not like this oddity, you know?
Okay, all
like,
right.
You know, at least in the big cities, it's not, oh, they just got... Like, people had fiber here, like, I don't know, like, I'm going to guess, but like, 7-10 years ago, which is not, you know, it started kind of. It's not most people, right? It's usually just cable or ADSL or whatever. But, you know, we had like 4Gs pretty much across the country. Like, even the rural areas, the last couple of years, like, everywhere I go, I just don't drop to 3G anymore, almost, you know?
Right.
Like, I want, like, in the middle of the woods, maybe, like, where there's, like, population and stuff, it'll be 4G most of the time. So,
okay.
You know. But so, honestly, like, just for, like, anybody, like, if you, like, if anybody comes here, I doubt they'll kind of, most likely they'll be kind of glad it's, like it is at where they're from, or it's even like in some areas a little better. Like, I know that sounds like high praise, but I really, you know, every time I go abroad, even into the West, it's like, oh yeah, we you know, that's it's like home. Like, it's
right,
not,
right,
you know,
yeah. No, yeah. That's a good way of looking at it. I have another question about you know, the Big Mac Index. You know what that is?
Yeah.
So how to try and gauge the kind of you know, level of prices and how things cost. How much is a McDonald's meal, roughly? If you have McDonald's, maybe you don't.
Yeah, McDonald's has been here for a while. Like, more. I don't know. Like, I was in primary school, probably. So it must be.
Okay.
Like, it could, like, I'm going to say 15, but it's probably more.
Okay.
Like, that's as low. And, like, it used to be sort of more expensive, you know?
Oh, like, wait a second. 15? Like, are you saying a meal is 15 euros?
No. No,
oh,
15
okay.
Years
15
ago.
Years like, since. Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay,
since,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's been here for a while. But
my heart just stopped for a second.
No. Because I don't really go to McDonald's a lot. Like, I genuinely don't. Like,
that's...
I know, yeah, we have like the euro, you know, the euro. I know you can get like a double cheeseburger for a euro. I know
right.
That. And, like,
okay.
Small fries. And I think like a Big Mac is. It's like around 2 euros, 180. I have no idea.
Okay,
like
maybe
I go
yeah.
Once a year, probably.
You know, it's funny because I totally respect your God-given right to not like McDonald's, but I always have this conversation with my American friends when I say, oh, you know, I enjoy McDonald's. I'll go there every once in a while when I have the opportunity. And they're always horrified because, first of all, because they think that French people... I don't know, only eat super gourmet stuff. And second, because I think their McDonald's are disgusting compared to ours in France. And anytime I go to fast food in the US, I'm horrified by what I see in my bag. And when I'm in France, it's like, it's decent, you know, sandwiches and good fries and that's it. It's a decent fast food meal. It's very different from the US. So, but anyway,
the US, like, I think like the hamburgers in the US, I think are kind of, I think they're kind of the same. Not really, but I get what you mean. Mm. The weird thing in the States is the size of the cups.
Oh,
that
my
is
God,
just
yes.
Mental. That's not, it's not, that's, it's not for humans, basically.
That's like a whole Jumbo other thing, conversation. Yeah.
It's not, and I know that's a cliche, but like genuinely, the first time I went to America, and it's been 10 years now, I figured that was just in the movies, and it's not.
No, you're right. It's the kind of thing you can't really believe. You watch it and you think, who? Yeah. What? How is that possible?
Yeah, how can one person drink that much cola? Like, I don't understand how that. And the weirdest one I saw was like, it was like some sort of Jumbo XL thing, right? And it had a cup holder at the bottom, but the whole cup was so wide. It actually kind of narrowed at the bottom, so
right,
it could fit in
the
cup. Like, I've never seen that here. That does not exist here. Like, I think even in Europe, maybe the UK, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
like the Americans. So, yeah, somebody, you know, somebody at a meeting somewhere should have just said, "Well, no." Yeah,
I believe they stopped the supersizing of a meal after the movie Super Size Me, but clearly that didn't apply to beverages. Leads me to another question: how European do you feel in Slovenia?
That's a good question. I don't know sort of the whole country. I don't think it's fair me answering that. We have a very low turnout for the European elections. I'll say that. Like, extremely low. It just hasn't kind of, it hasn't become a thing here yet, I hope. Like, I think Europe, but me personally, I do think Europe is sort of a infrastructure with great possibilities, basically. But, you know, it's made a bunch of missteps, and I don't really want to sound like a EU skeptic, which I'm not. Like, I really am for the EU, but like I don't know how to answer that as far as the whole country goes. Like,
I'm not necessarily just talking about the European Union, although that can be part of it, but more, you know, culturally. Do you consider yourselves like part of the continent? Like, I don't know, when I think about other countries that are kind of between Western/Central Europe and, or I guess it is Western Europe, and kind of everything that's to the east, there's this duality. In Finland, we the people here feel both Nordic and European, but the European component is very strong because there's the Russian bear on the other side, and people feel like, okay, we shouldn't piss them off, but at the same time, let's make sure we're closer to the EU. So I wonder if there's, you know, this overarching Yugoslavian identity that takes over, or...
No, like, it's always been Europe. Like, that was never even, you know, that was not... Like, when, you know, way back when the Turks invaded, like, the border was right across Slovenia, basically, with Austria, because of the mountains, right? But, like, this is, the Balkans are Europe. Like, Greece is Europe, you know what I mean? And it's further south, so it's not, that's not even, like, when you said European, I just assumed, like, the whole EU debate thing, but just being part of it, it's not even, like, it's so true, it's not even a question, if that makes sense. It's
no,
just,
I understand,
you know,
yeah.
It's like part of the air, basically. It's not even, you know. Yeah.
So what's left of the Yugoslavian identity then? Is that the big thing, the thing that no one talks about?
See, Slovenia, again, Slovenia kind of wasn't... I don't really know how to explain that, but like we were not sort of, the conflict was very short here, right? We were kind of the first country to break. Well, that's also kind of, but yeah, probably. But like the conflict was kind of really short here, and it's the whole, you see, I'm kind of too young to have any real attachment to the old country, you know, because I was like 7 when it all happened, you know. it's not really, you know, but like the one thing I kind of came away with from that is like there's idiots in every country, basically. It's not even, you know, the whole national sort of that's why I always kind of have this like a problem just speaking sort of for an entire nation or, you know, just or maybe.
Oh, that's a recurring issue on that show. I always ask people on the show to speak for the entirety of their country. So,
no, because like I am Slovenian and stuff. It's not, it's just, you know, it's weird kind of because of the Yugoslav thing. Like I think. If people would actually come to any of the sort of ex-Yugoslav countries, I think they'd kind of be surprised at how kind of awesome it all is. Like, and I'm like Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, Macedonia. Mm. Like, it honestly doesn't matter. Like, there's definitely, you know, sort of a scale of, let's say, how far each country has gotten, right? But again, does not apply to the whole of the countries, you know, because like Croatia and Serbia all have, you know, a bunch of cities that are just huge compared to us, like Ljubljana, mm-hmm. where I'm from, which is the capital and the biggest city, is like, I don't know, 350,000 people, which is basically nice. We're a town, right? It's not, you know, mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of things, but like the rest of Yugoslavia. So it's not, you know, it's the whole Yugoslav identity. I think it kind of like it's not really a thing anymore. I think every country is kind of proud of their own independence and just trying to make the best of it. At least sort of my generation and up, you know, I think it's kind of, you know, just sort of you try to look towards the future, honestly. Mm.
So what's the political makeup? Because of course we've heard, we've seen the rise of nationalism in many countries. I wonder what the mood is like in Slovenia now.
Well, we have a sort of right, I'll say right party, I guess that's, yeah, which basically got the most votes, but nobody would go into coalition with them. So we kind of have a sort of centrist / leftist kind of sort of coalition running things now. So we kind of look good in that respect, you know. When you look over the border to Hungary, we're okay. Like, it can get worse. Like, I'll say that. Like, because the stuff I've been, you know, seeing from Hungary is kind of depressing, which is really close. Like, it's an hour and a half from where I am.
Right.
So, yeah, that's where it gets kind of creepy, honestly.
So let's get back to more concrete topics, which I always like to ask about. How is just the everyday life when you're a kid in Slovenia? Like, you go to school, what sports do you play? What kind of fun do you have? Like, stupid things. Like, did you get Japanese anime, or was that not really a thing? Do you play video games? Do you go out and play sports? What's your life when you're a school age kid in the country?
You know, the way it works here, we have we have kindergarten until you're 6, and then primary school until you're 14, 15, then high school until you're 18, and then you go to university, if that's your path, right? There's also vocational stuff and, you know, all of that. So, but as far as, I'm very tall. So I played basketball. I am 2 meters and 4 centimeters, which is, I'm a giant, basically, yeah. So
that's what, 6 foot?
Eight,
plus?
I think 7 or 8. I think kind of works out to 6, I guess. Yeah, I think. I always kind of translated in Google when the Americans asked me. The metric system is way superior.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. my default search engine is Quant, and it doesn't do that in the thing. there you go. It's 6'7".
Oh, 6'7". Yeah, I think it's like 6'7" or 6'8". Yeah, 6'7". Okay. So yeah. But football and basketball, I think are the main sort of team sports over here. There's a lot of skiing going on. We're one of those countries, like France, you know, and Austria and Italy. We're kind of part of that. And then we have like a pretty good public school system and universities. Like I've kind of enjoyed my path through there.
Is that paid by, well, the state, I guess? Is education free, quote-unquote free?
Yes, if you get, but it's free. Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
I'm guessing healthcare is the same way?
Yes.
Okay.
That is also, yes, we have what the Americans would call universal healthcare because they have to put it like universal at the beginning of it. But over here, it's just called healthcare.
Some would even call it socialized medicine.
Well, you know, yes,
and you know, to scare people with
the dirty S word.
and so I guess that is a follow-up question. In every country I visited, people were very happy. Well, maybe very happy is not the right term, but overall satisfied with these systems, and whatever criticism they would have of those systems would be in, you know, wanting to tweak them, not wanting to remove them.
It's the same here. It is by no means a perfect healthcare system, right? But just like, that's the one good thing about America. When you see the alternative, like, we're okay, we're fine. Like, it's we're, you know, not perfect, but we're doing good. Like, it's but again, like, there's you know, so, like, certainly even in Slovenia, you have sort of a part of the, let's say, political spectrum that would like to privatize stuff, and you know, they've been succeeding in some areas, but not in others. And so far, healthcare is kind of still,
right,
in my opinion, what it's kind of supposed to be. Although, again, it could be better. That is for sure.
Of course, but, So the university is also part of the education, you know, free education. Yeah. And do you have any idea what the average level? I guess it's just in every country, different when you're in the big cities and in the countryside. But what's the average, level of studies that people get to? Is it, you know, 3-4 years in university, or is it?
Yeah. But we have the new sort of Euro. Is it called the Bologna system? I think now, because I wasn't part of that. I still studied under the old system, so that's a little bit more flexible, from what I hear. So you can do like 3+2 years, or 4+1, right, in university, and that.
But people go to universities. That's the expected path for.
I don't know if expected is the right word, but I'll tell you this, like, the universities are pretty full over here. Like, it's not just for a few people. I'll say, you know, like, even when you finish university, used to be like a big deal. And now I think it's not as rare, you know, and it's which is a good thing, obviously. Mm. Right. I think we still have like a pretty decent sort of vocational sort of level of schooling and stuff. Mm. People still do that. Like, not all people go to university, which would be ridiculous anyway, right? But a good portion. I don't know the statistic, honestly. But like,
of course, you know, but I mean, overall, like, you have a kid now, you would expect her, you know, in many years to go to university.
Yes, that will be the burden of her father's expectations. Yes, to go to university.
It's funny because I'm trying to find elements of differences in everything we're talking about, and I'm sort of getting the same vibe as when my brother talks about Serbia. He just like me met a foreigner and got whisked away in a different country.
He has the best food.
He's very happy with food, of course, but everything else, you know, infrastructure, education, like it's all. He has two little girls, and what I'm getting at is that I'm not finding anything tangible to hold on to say, well, this is what's different from the way things are in the rest of Europe or Western countries.
Although I'll bet he's in Belgrade, right?
Like, he's not actually a big city, but not Belgrade. But not too far. But so I guess it leads me to the question: how would you say Slovenia is different from what you've seen of maybe, you know, the rest of Europe? Let's not go to the US because everything is different from the US, but. are there any things that strike you as different, or is it really just another country where there's a different language?
Yeah, it's gotten to that point, you know. Even when you go out, you know, you'll go to shops are the same, which is so depressing. You know, the same chain sort of fashion stores are everywhere. You know, it used to be you'd go abroad and be like, ooh, I've never been in that store. And you're just like, it's just a little bit more expensive in Copenhagen. You know, like it's not even, like I don't want to, you know, I think we've kind of gotten to the sort of, as a tourist, if I'll go somewhere, it'll be, you know, there'll be more stuff because everything's bigger than over here.
Right.
But as far as, you know, finding some actual differences, it'll be like, well, yeah, but, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe we don't have a Hawaiian restaurant yet here or, you know,
right.
A, like Nigerian place, like stuff like that'll still be sort of in the domain of the large cities. Right. But, you know, we again, do kind of okay. You know, it's not, it's weird because I kind of grew up during the 90s and there was a bigger difference there. You know, I was lucky enough to go to the UK during that time, right? And at that point, yeah, I'd go down, I just see shops that I've never heard of before, you know. Just the amount of restaurants I saw was insane. But now in the last maybe like 20, 25 years, like when you go out, you're just, you know, you're just a tourist, basically.
And yeah.
In Europe, it's... with the euro, you know, that's the only big difference is, like, I just know in Finland, everything's more expensive just because the sort of buying power of the Finnish is so much stronger than us, right? So
right,
that,
yeah.
That you'll feel it there, right? But other than that, it's, you know, H&M is everywhere, which is depressing again.
It's funny because that's exactly your, yeah, in Finland it's very similar. And there's this feeling as well that things shifted in the past 20 years, I guess, with the fall of the Eastern Bloc. In the case of Finland, it allowed the country for a brief time to get away from the influence of Russia enough that they would become part of the EU, and they very quickly adopted the euro, unlike Sweden. And at that point, everything changed. And there's all of these things that you're talking about that are similar here. Maybe there's one store that you don't, you know, maybe there isn't,
yeah,
I don't know,
yeah,
the Gap, or maybe the Gap isn't in Finland or another one, but H&M is here and McDonald's and Burger King and all of those things. And it really changed, yeah, 20 years ago. And nowadays I come to Helsinki and it's a smaller town, but so maybe there's like, you know, three Indian food restaurants in walking distance instead of seven, you know. Yeah, that's really, yeah, the difference.
Yeah, that, and I will say the Gap is in Slovenia, so that's,
ah, you know, damn it. Wait, you know, maybe, which... Gap maybe Gap is in, is it, ah, I forget. I think maybe Gap isn't, but so yeah, you got us beat.
Yeah, well, you see, but that's really, do we want to win that race? Like, is that, you know, is that the victory anybody wants? Like,
I don't know. You know, I enjoy that. It's, I think it's not like you don't have local stuff. And I understand the drawback of the big uniformity and mondialisation, we say in French. So, oh my God, is there no word for that in English? There has to be, like, the world becoming one.
And
I understand the issues with that and the kind of dull thought of going to a different city and seeing the same storefronts. But at the same time, it's not like you don't realize you're in Finland, in Helsinki, when you're in Helsinki, you know. And I'm guessing in a similar way, you realize you're in Slovenia, or at least not in the UK when you're in Slovenia. So I don't have such a big issue with that idea that things become quote unquote the same everywhere, because they aren't. Not only are they not really the same, but also the alternative is having kind of, maybe that's controversial, I was going to say poorly made stuff, but it's not necessarily poorly made. It's just not as cheap, which
again
raises the level of, you know, the things you can buy. It's,
still that the cheapness is, there's a price somebody's paying somewhere, you know.
I guess that's on, true. Yeah.
You know, that's, again, a race you don't want to, you know, at least me, don't really want to be a part of. So, no, I'm not.
So
I'm
you
not
don't saying, shop at the Gap is what you're saying. You never buy anything from the
I
Gap.
I am, again, very tall. When something fits, I buy it. I'm not that picky. my shopping habits are basically governed by my huge size. So...
Understandable.
Yeah, yeah. Because even in America, nothing actually fits me because I'm tall and I'm not big. And in America, it's mostly big and tall. And right. I am not one of those things. So yeah, it's shopping is a different thing for me.
Right, right. So yeah, Slovenia is just another European country.
Yeah. And that's the best kind of boring as far as I'm concerned. Like that's, you know, it's the best kind of boring because we're like Europe for all its flaws, you know, again, we're okay.
Yeah.
It's, you know, could be worse. Let's say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, you grow up, you go to university, it's easy to find a job, to make lots of money, you get kids, buy a house. Is the job situation relatively good? Or
It was kind of bad with the last recession, but I think that was true pretty much everywhere.
The crisis 2008?
Yeah. It kind of really hit here, I think, in like 2010, maybe 2011, you know, because it's always kind of staggered when that happens. So, yeah, it was kind of, but I think that's sort of par for the course for everybody. You know, it wasn't really... pretty great, at least from what I've heard anywhere else, you know, from colleagues and such. The one thing, and I'll speak for just Ljubljana here, the housing kind of situation is pretty crappy. Like the prices are kind of way, way up because there wasn't really this is just the city. If you want to sort of go out of the city and get a place, that's way easier, right?
How much is it like the per square meter for an apartment in the city? Of course, it varies per neighborhood.
Yeah,
I'm sure,
I don't know, like a couple of grand at least, or even more, which is not in line with sort of the average wage, right?
A couple of grand, so a couple thousand euros per square meter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the really fancy stuff, it goes three and up, right? It's gotten insane just because, but that's because sort of Ljubljana is really has become in the last sort of 5 years like a proper tourist destination. Like right now in the center of the city, there's like you won't even hear Slovene, honestly. Like it's just a bunch, which was not the case. Like when I was young, Ljubljana in the summer was empty. It was like a ghost town, right?
And because now, everyone would go to the seaside. To the sea, yeah.
Yeah, basically. And now it's so many tourists. It's kind of hard, like for me who've seen both versions, it's still hard to comprehend how many people come over here. Yeah,
it's in Paris, which is, you know, in league with some of the most expensive cities in the world. It will go anywhere from like 7,000 to 10, sometimes a bit higher if you're in a really high end neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the average wage is still a lot lower in Slovenia than it is in, say, Paris or the UK or...
Yeah, for sure. But sort of what I found that really does not have that much of... Like, it's the standard of living, I'm pretty sure, like, from what I've heard from people that have... Like, I'll say this, when people get... People from Slovenia who go abroad, when they have kids, they tend to come back.
Right.
Like but that's again very anecdotal because those are my sort of friends, right? But they'll try and get back basically.
Because the life is easier or cheaper in Slovenia, or because
just sort of the infrastructure in place for raising a family. You know, if you have a decent job here, it's pretty okay. Yeah. Again, still very anecdotal because I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, in Bruges it's even better, but I don't know it yet. Right? Like, I don't know. But that's. But yeah, as far as my
living in Finland, I've come to appreciate the cities that are not, I don't know, mega cities. You know, being in Paris is great, but when I'm thinking if we ever move back to France and to Paris because that's where I grew up, where would I go? Like, first of all, it's expensive as F.
Yeah.
And it would the standard of living be better or worse? Probably worse in most by most measures. So I completely understand that people would want to go back. And maybe it's a thing of, you know, a smaller country. Maybe it's something else. But I completely understand that move.
Yeah, for like for me personally, I do like to travel to bigger cities and sort of just sort of to realize Ljubljana is small, you know. But as far as living somewhere is, I don't know, I kind of like it here.
So we were just saying it's the same as everywhere else. You have the same stores, you have the same, and the price of real estate is rising. So what makes it different? What makes it so you'd rather stay there than live in another city?
Well, like discounting family and sort of, you know, the anthropological stuff of just having friends here, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, I sort of like a city that's not too big. Like, I genuinely think that's there's something about that where it's not really like a town where everybody knows everybody, but it's not, you know, a little country, like a country, like a population of a small country living, you know, in a couple of, you know, square kilometers.
Right, so right. Yeah.
It's like I do sort of like that. And the one thing I do really appreciate, like I do love the Balkans. Like the Croatian seaside, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the best seasides anywhere. And I've been elsewhere, you know, and I, because mm-hmm. the first time I went to Spain, I was like, this is going to be awesome. The Spanish coast is going to be great. And then I got there and just wanted to go back. Like, it's not.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then Serbia
and,
as well.
And it's Europe. So you can just go there and you go there. I mean,
oh,
I'm
no,
sure
it's,
you can
they're
go.
Not in Schengen yet. So,
oh, really? Okay.
There's still a border. Yeah. With Croatia, there's still a border. They are in the EU, but Schengen hasn't sort of, they're not in the.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But for Slovenia, it's awesome because it's where, especially Ljubljana, because it's pretty much in the center of the country. Like I it's an hour's drive to the Alps and an hour's drive to the seaside.
Mm.
And there's not a lot of places that can say that. You know, there's simply not a lot of places, basically. You can go like skiing and then to the seaside in the same day, honestly. Like yeah. That's
it reminds me of Lebanon. That's what my parents always said about Beirut. You would go skiing and in the morning, and then go to the beach in the afternoon. And
yeah. There's like I think there's something to that, like because you it's like an hour's drive on the highway to the seaside from Ljubljana. You know, it's not a lot. You know, so yeah.
And people, you were talking about how touristy these countries have become. It's the case with Finland as well. I'm not sure exactly why, but it's become quite touristy. I like Helsinki, but Croatia especially and the beaches have become incredibly popular, even in France. You hear of people going to Croatia and loving it. And
yeah, there's like Finnish license plates in Croatia.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I've never seen them before. Because I see this year, I think like I was there. What I was in Croatia when we were started mailing each other to kind of do this. I was there and we were driving behind a caravan, like a car with a caravan. Mm-hmm. And I saw the license plate. And I was like, I don't know where they're from. Like I just because I've never seen that license plate. And I said, oh, that's Finland. So the Finnish are now here. Yeah,
it's
and like
the people...
Swedes have been coming for like I don't know. 5-7 years to Croatia and stuff. Yeah,
it's the people running away from the winter, trying to get a little bit of sun.
Yeah.
It's so yeah. Slovenia is also very touristy. Is that something that people like, or are they, you know, the locals, are they grumbling about the fact that you can't go anywhere and prices are rising? You mentioned that before. But at the same time, it's an economic boon, I'm sure. So.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, like, I think we were like the whole country does have sort of a strong sort of tourist sector. You know, we have a bunch of spas because we have a bunch of natural springs here.
Mm.
You know, we have the lakes and stuff, and that was always sort of popular even before this boom. Right? It's insane now. We have a bunch of pretty rivers and the mountains and then the seaside and stuff, you know.
I'll interrupt you for just a second because I went on, I think it was Pixabay or Pexels to get an illustration for the show. And oh my God, this country is beautiful. Like, go type Slovenia in one of the stock photos.
Basically. No, just do Google image search.
Yeah.
It's
incredible. It made me want to go.
Yeah, the pictures get like they like it's all true. That's all. I genuinely it's all yeah, it's kind of kitschy sometimes. And again, I am not paid by the Slovenian Tourist Board to say this. That's a disclaimer. But yeah, it's very pretty here. Like it's like I think like the way I kind of is at least for like the central part of the country, I think like people have it in their mind's eye what Switzerland looks like. You know, It's kind of like that, only better. But you know, kind of like if somebody just wants to. But yeah, you probably saw the lake with the little island and the church that's
exactly, lit. Exactly.
Yeah, everybody wants to go there, which is the worst one. There's one like 5 minutes away that's way better. But it's just, I hope the tourists just keep going to Bled. So the other one's way better. But yeah.
But I mean the views, and these are professional pictures, so maybe they're biased. But it seems like nature in that country is like if you try to get an image of Paris, and not even just through Google search, which is probably not the best way, but although that's debatable, but even in popular culture, you don't just get nature. And here it seems like it's not just nature, but everything is wonderful. Is that reflected in the Slovenian culture? Is there that kind of attachment to the land almost, or it's just
well, it is like it is very green, you know, like drinkable waters everywhere, which again is like one of those things in the West that always just boggles my mind, like how is tap water not drinkable in some of these kind, like you know, some of the Western countries. Just weird to me. That's so weird. Or like that's the one thing anytime I go, and they're like, oh no, you have to get the bottle stuff. I'm like this is, you know what, I don't, you know, it's that's the weird one, right? So but yeah, like it's very green, like it's very, very like a lot of forests, a lot of like sort of mountains and hills and stuff. So yeah, I'll say it's kind of reflect. I think people have sort of a relationship with nature. It's kind of hard not to not have one, because it's all green. It's kind of, you know, the mountain ranges I could see, and I'm in the city, right? If I go on my bike and like bike for 5 minutes, I'll see snow right now, basically. It's, you know, it's not, I've also found that's not the case everywhere. Like it's not, yeah, but I totally took it for granted until I had more travels behind me, honestly. Right. So yeah,
it's the kind of thing you only realize when you've been away.
Yeah, and like when friends point it out, you know, like even a couple of American friends that have been over here, it's they all say that, and I'm like, again, it's like the, it's just there. It's always been there. It's not, you know, you kind of tend to not appreciate that stuff, and then somebody kind of almost has to point it out to you, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of that in you know what you were talking about earlier, the attachment to nature. Or not the attachment, the fact that it's everywhere in Finland as well. And
oh yeah, I bet. Like the Scandinavians, like the pictures from up there are amazing most of the time, at least from what I see, you know. So
yeah, even the people in Helsinki or in the cities, it's just such a big part of the country, if you go up north, that it's kind of imprinted in the culture. Even if you don't experience it, which most people will, but even if you don't experience it by yourself all the time. So
yeah.
Right. Well, I'm starting to get a pretty I think good image of what Slovenia is like. It's
all perfect, basically. That's the takeaway.
And that's what I was going to get to. You're essentially giving us a quite idyllic picture of what the country is. I want to ask you, what are the problems? What are the issues? Like, if just to give you a little bit of context, if I was to talk about Finland, it's, you know, the winter is pretty harsh, and geopolitically you have Russia just right there that you have to always pay attention to, and there are a couple of other things I could talk about. But what makes Slovenia not the earthly heaven that you're describing?
well, like any other country, does have, you know, its ills. I think still sort of while, you know, sort of income inequality is quite low, you know, you'd still want like for the whole country to be sort of in the same place, but it's sort of very much centralized around Ljubljana, which is the capital city. So sort of the outskirts do don't fare as well. Like some, like again, depends on the region. You know, I think there's a lot of that. And then just like geopolitically, honestly, it's kind of weird. Like I don't want to undersell it, but you know, sort of Hungary's on the border, Italy's on the border. You know, then you have Croatia and Austria, and we have sort of a really genuinely dumb border dispute with Croatia over like in like, basically the sea, where the sea is, where the sea on the border is kind of, and that's sort of in the European courts and stuff. And I just hope that gets resolved somehow, like really fast, because it's really one of those dumb things, but it kind of shows the pettiness of Slovenia and Croatia, honestly, you know, sort of the political class.
Well, I'm guessing there are commercial implications, even though Croatia has like essentially a million kilometers of
that's sort of one of the, you know, sort of the consequences of Yugoslavia, where it was one country, and then you kind of have to figure out where the action border is, you know, sort of that. And then, you know, we kind of suffer from the same ails, I think, that most countries do. You know, there's never really enough money in education, although, you know, the system is kind of good, you know, and like we were talking about the healthcare, there's stuff to do there, you know. We have an army that we don't know really why we have. There's 2 million of us, you know, the soldiers could be put to better use than, you know, just pretending to be a force
marching basically in the street for
thank God we don't have anything like that, but it's sort of one of those things, you know, and they're always underfunded. That's the weird thing, you know. And you know, like sort of it's sort of run of the mill running a country kind of, you know, a thing. And you know, maybe exports aren't as high as they should be, you know, but I think that's a problem in Europe generally from what I read, you know,
right?
Stuff like
so
that.
So it's pretty,
you know,
standard stuff. There isn't like one thing to point to and say, all right,
Yeah, I hope I'm not missing anything sort of, you know, really obvious right now. I'm trying to think, but you know, the headlines when the elections come, they were sort of that narrative was here as well, the sort of rise of populism and the right wing and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like I said, that like for at least our party, that's kind of like in that ilk, you know, didn't really work out for them. So we have a pretty stable government right now, which, you know, it's kind of doing some stuff right and some really dumb stuff, like in any country, basically.
Right.
You know, so I really hope I'm not, you know, I don't want to oversell it that everything's fine, but in the same vein, like we have the same ails as, you know, a sort of a country that got democracy in the 90s and still has some stuff to figure out, but is doing okay in other areas, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where it gets kind of tricky, but yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it's even with those elements, it seems like it's a pretty nice place to live. I think 15 years ago, I would not really have considered Croatia or even Serbia as a touristy destination. And I think from now on, I have to include Slovenia in that list as well, where I would like to go. So
There is a part of me like where that was glad, you know, people kind of forgot about the Balkans. Like there is a part of me, because it's gonna, like when I see Italy and France and Spain, like the seaside, from what I've seen, like the everything's built out, the really pretty places, basically.
It's terrible.
Awful,
it's
right?
Horrible.
Yeah. And if that happens in like the Balkans, I'll just be sad. Like, I'm glad I'm alive now when it's still kind of awesome, you know. But I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But you know,
it's one of the issues. Well, the issues. One of the things that's happening is that people are traveling by plane less. First of all, because it's expensive, and second of all, because it's the carbon impact is larger, and I think it's going to be a trend that people try to travel more locally, and that might mean going to places like the Balkans even more than they have before. So get ready for the giant hotel chains and droves of tourists.
Yeah, you mentioned the giant hotel chains. Like, that's been happening in Ljubljana now. Like, before, right, we had a couple of big hotels and stuff, and I think Intercontinental even tried, like, in the 2000s or whatever, to kind of do something here. Never really quite work. Now they just built a whole new one. Like, Intercontinental just built a hotel. Like, they just built a giant skyscraper in the middle of town because there's so many tourists.
You know, what I'm getting away from this is essentially everyone go to Slovenia now before it gets run over.
Oh, this is like, as far as Ljubljana goes, I think it has a couple of years left and then it's going to become like Paris or Prague or whatever.
Right, right.
And it's just going to be like just tourists, you know.
All right. Well, if I ever get the time with my little one growing up, I'll try to make the trip at some point. It sounds
like
lovely.
If your brother is in Serbia, like you can have one of the best road trips in the world, probably. If just Slovenia, Croatia, Serbia, yeah. Like that's it. And I do want to mention Bosnia because I think Bosnia really has a bad rep because of like the sort of the situation during the war there and stuff. But I think it's like one of the like prettiest countries, and you know, I've just recently, the first time I've been to Banja Luka and I've been to Sarajevo and stuff. It's kind of great, kind of. Mm. I don't want to, you know, it's. I think they sort of, Bosnia always gets put to the side for some reason. I'm trying to bring it back, you know, just all of them, like all of the ex-Yugoslav, you know, countries. They're all, you know, just, you know, there's a bunch of decent people living here doing good stuff, you know.
Certainly sounds like it, and it's funny the. I think Europe is realizing that the Balkans, the Nordic countries have kind of stuff figured out. The Nordic countries are always, you know, top of the happiness charts and all that.
Yeah,
And it seems these quote unquote, you know, I'm thinking when I'm saying this, I'm thinking of Estonia as well, which is going through a rapid evolution, but it's also a country that had to update itself not too long ago, and it's working out really well. And they're kind of that idea of leapfrogging because they don't have all of the weight of former, you know, of the history of systems that have been that have become heavier and heavier. And it seems, hopefully, that's. I mean, I hope that's not the reason why, because then it means in 30 or 50 years, things will be similar in those idyllic countries we're talking about now. But yeah, it's interesting. Well, anyway, thank you very much for being on the show. Is there anything we missed you want to mention, or are we?
I don't know. Like I said, it's still weird talking about, you know, like about the whole country, but like I do want to just say this. I do kind of like podcasting because I talk to you now. I think that's one of the, you know, you're a French guy from Finland, basically. I'm some random dude from Slovenia. And we just, you know, recorded something. I think, you know, the internet's kind of great. Like This is one of the reasons I like doing this, you know. And it's all because of Allison, and that's because of Gene McDonald, and Gene McDonald's because of The Incomparable. And I don't know, I like being part of a chain like that. So
I love it too. Yeah. I really like it. You know, it's what I started podcasting a while ago as well, and the it's what led me to this show, is that idea that we can just talk to people. Like we often say it, before the internet, if you didn't know something, you had to. You didn't know it, you know, unless you had an encyclopedia or something. Now you just whip up your phone and you look it up. And it's the same with these kinds of things. Before the internet, you couldn't talk to someone from Slovenia or, you know, any other country. It was just like you would hear about those things from people who maybe had been there, or, you know, some kind of stereotypical caricature of stuff. And that's why I started this show. So I'm really happy that we can keep doing it, and that we get different experiences and conversations like this every month or so. So
yeah, even from the guy from the chicken country.
Well, thanks very much to the guy and the chicken country for allowing him to be on. If people want to check out what you do, especially since you have English content, where would they go?
Well, everything is on stormingmortal.com. That's the English feed, which hasn't been updated in a year, but there will be an English episode at some point. But I also have a list of all of my guest spots on various podcasts. So I do want to steer people toward the Incomparable. If you like sort of pop culture and movies and geeky stuff, it's a genuinely great show, which again, I have somehow fooled them into letting me be on. But yeah, that's
very
much
cool. I'll also put the links to your Twitter accounts in the show notes. So if you, people can go from there to your content. I say Twitter accounts because you also have a regular one and an English one.
Because the English one is for like all of my podcasting friends who I have spared the Slovene tweets, basically, because I know how stupid that is. You know, I do have a separate one for talking to those guys.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered. I annoy my American and English speaking followers with the French stuff. But then I try to do it like mornings. Usually I do in French, and then afternoon I try to switch to English. But
that's smart. I never thought of that. Yeah, sort of the time divide. That's a good solution, honestly.
Then the people who aren't American, who are like English or wherever else,
they're in the same boat.
So doesn't work out perfectly. But you know, as we've established in this episode, nothing is completely perfect, but sometimes it's pretty good. So. All right, so the links will be in the show notes. For me, it's NotPatrick on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm going on vacation for a few weeks after, like, this is my last show before I go on vacation. I'm very happy and anxious at the same time. It's been years since I've had a proper vacation, and I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm glad we could do this before I would leave. It's been difficult to get shows together for this podcast in the past few weeks. So hopefully vacation, and then I'll be back with some kind of a vengeance, and we'll get back on track. And of course, if you enjoy the show, if you think, you know, that's what the internet is made for, and not, I don't know, insulting people on Twitter, then maybe go support it on Patreon. It's patreon.com/thephileasclub. The link is in the show notes. And you can do that, support the show, and say what you value on the internet. Hopefully, you enjoy this show and you enjoyed this episode, and you will think about maybe supporting it financially. So thanks a lot to those who already do and to those who will consider doing it in the future. That's going to be it. No regular episode this month. As I mentioned, we'll be back in August. Until then, have a wonderful few weeks, and I'll take you there. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.